This is the Janine Pirro Show. Now, here's Judge Janine Pirro.
Welcome back to the Judge Janine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Joining me now is an American physician, clinical professor of medicine at NYU Langone Medical Center, and author. He's a familiar face, a familiar name, Dr. Mark Siegel. Welcome to the Judge Janine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Now, Dr. Siegel, we're hearing a lot about measles and a measles outbreak. Where is this outbreak more prevalent, and what are the implications?
Let me give you the big picture here, Judge. We got 9 million cases last year in the world and 85 cases in the United States. The reason for the difference is that we're highly vaccinated against measles. But that's slipping. And the more that slips, the more susceptible our population is, the immunocompromised, the chronically ill, and nobody under the age of 1 year old has this vaccine. We're seeing it among travelers. Europe has a 45-time increase over the past year, 45,000 cases.
And to what do you attribute that?
It's actually due to noncompliance with the vaccine. The vaccine, people aren't taking it. They don't understand that it's a highly effective, highly safe vaccine that's almost 100% effective and has been around since the 70s. So we're at a time of low understanding and low compliance with vaccines right now.
So that's people, but for years people have felt that it's a legitimate vaccine to take. Is this impacted by illegal immigration, or how about this immigration?
I agree with your other point, by the way. It's a very legitimate vaccine to take, and it really isn't a vaccine of choice in the sense that it protects the community. Two reasons to take a vaccine: one, protect yourself; two, protect the community. The point you're bringing up now is also hugely important, because if I say that travelers aren't checked when they come into the country, imagine how I feel about migrants coming across the southern border.
Right.
The CDC has a huge protocol for checking legal immigrants when they come in for prospective diseases. I looked at it just yesterday, and it's very prodigious. And of course they want to know whether you had a measles shot or not. But if you come across the southern border unfettered, unchecked, into the United States, you're coming from Central America, an area that has less than a 90% uptake of the vaccine. Now, 85% might sound like a lot, but when you're talking about a vaccine as contagious as measles, number one respiratory virus on the planet,
really,
in terms of how contagious it is, if you're not vaccinated, there's almost 100% chance that if you encounter it, you'll get sick. So here we are, and if you think this is hypothetical or theoretical, in the city of Chicago, Illinois, we have 15 cases of measles already linked to migrants in a homeless shelter.
Right.
Who brought it here and spread it among themselves, because over 13% were not vaccinated.
You know what frustrates me, and I would imagine just about every American, is that during COVID, we had a worldwide pandemic. Everyone had to stay home. When I got into an airport flying from wherever, I had to fill out a form. Cuomo had the state police at the airport. I had to give them my telephone number so they could follow up to make sure I was okay, as if I wasn't capable of following up myself on whether or not I was ill. And, you know, illegals would come through. Not only were they not checked for COVID, but the law protected them where they could refuse to take the vaccine, whereas Americans who were first responders, nurses, doctors, police, first responders, they all lost their jobs if they didn't take the vaccine. And, you know, we're just coming off of that now. So now we have measles coming in. 90% of these people come from countries where they don't impose this vaccine. And so if it is as contagious as you say, this is a nightmare.
Yeah, that's a total nightmare. And the point you just made about COVID lockdowns is ridiculous. The only thing you forgot to say was we give them jobs.
Yeah.
And we give them health care, too.
Right.
Let's give them health care, but we don't check them. But our Americans can't get these jobs, can't get health care, half of them, and they get checked every minute for this. So I think the disparity there, talk about disparity. How about using disparity here? The disparity between the way migrants are treated in terms of public health risks and Americans were treated during the pandemic is really hypocritical and is causing a lot of the problem now. Same with travelers, by the way. I mean, we're talking about, there's a blurring here. Some of it is migrants, like illegal migrants coming from India, by the way. Some of it is travelers not being checked at all. But we have a huge and growing problem with this.
Well, you know, I think as we go forward, I mean, at some point, this immigration has to stop. There has to be some end to it. When is enough enough? As if the schools and the hospitals and the communities aren't inundated enough. Now we have to worry. And I have always worried about these vaccines. I've worried about all kinds of diseases, not because, you know, there's a negative impact of these people coming in, because many of them have good things to offer. But if we're not vetting them, and if we're not vaccinating them, and we're sending them into the community, we're creating a risk. And, you know, America is starting to look like a third world country, Dr. Mark Siegel.
Well, I consider the border problem to be a public health emergency, by the way. And you didn't mention one thing, which was Title 42, which was imposed by Robert Redfield at the beginning of the pandemic. And he's told me multiple times, and you're going to love this. He said he didn't bring in Title 42 to be able to expel people who are a contagious risk to U.S. citizens because of COVID. He said he did it because of flu, because of COVID, and because of other diseases. And so, of course, we need to bring it back. I mean, that was just tip of the iceberg. We have to actually, we're talking about 8-9 million people coming across under President Biden. I think Title 42 turned away a million. That's tip of the iceberg.
But not only that, but Title 42 is something that Joe Biden has historically sought to get overturned. His whole mission is to open the border, to turn America into a globalist landing spot with benefits. I mean, you know, we're not going to vet you. And more we're hearing, and I'm not just talking about crimes being committed here by illegals, but I'm talking about illegals from other countries who are wanted in their own countries for committing violent crimes, who then abscond to America, and we don't even ask them who they are. We don't even bother to identify who they are. And so, you know, we end up suffering as a result of it.
You know, you're getting to a really important point here, because there haven't been enough incidents of this yet. There was that one murder of Venezuelan alleged. I have to say alleged because you're a judge. But what about acts of bioterror of people coming across the border? That's going to be increasing risk. And we're lucky that we haven't had that yet.
Well, you know, when you say this is something we don't hear enough about, you know, when Donald Trump was president, he started an organization or a segment within the government where they were trying to count the number of American victims who were victims of violent crimes by illegals. Do you know that many states wouldn't send in information identifying the criminal as whether or not that person was legal or illegal? So when you say we don't hear enough about these crimes, I hear about them all the time. And whether or not it's an illegal who doesn't have a license, who continues to drive drunk, and then ends up killing a state trooper, like what happened, less than, I think, 2 weeks ago, or, you know, the illegal who gets into a car again and ends up killing people that we hear more about in Maryland and Virginia and that area. You know, the press isn't covering it. It's only with Lake and Riley. All of a sudden, yeah, and you know what? This illegal shot a 2-year-old in the face. That was about, and killed a kid, obviously. And now we're hearing about rapes, and we're hearing about all kinds of crimes. And they're like, well, you can't identify them as illegals, because they're really, you know, asylum seekers, and they're migrants who have the right to be here, because once we allow them in and give them a date for their asylum hearing, which can be 10 years from now, they literally have a status as a parolee. And my response to that is, when you're on parole, usually your parole officer can find you. Forget about even know who you are.
Judge, the only thing you didn't say there, and I think you can live in this space. Nobody understands this corrupted system of justice better than you. And as you just said so eloquently, I, of course, have to add the issue of drugs. I mean, the drug cartels, and there's two main ones. The Sinaloa cartel is busy getting rid of poppy fields and making everything these 10-foot labs, producing fentanyl, churning out fentanyl from products coming to them from China, and then flooding it across the border, advertising in our high schools in Texas, getting this stuff sold everywhere. It laces marijuana. It laces our pills. It's killing people. It's sickening people.
Explain what you mean, advertising in our high schools. Go back to that one, Dr. Mark Siegel.
I'm telling you that the cartels are utilizing our high schools in the southern area to advertise that the drugs are coming across the border. That's an absolute fact. Internet, of course, you know about social media, but yep. also literally advertising within our high schools and hiring people to distribute drugs that are coming across the border.
Wow, that is frightening. And you're right, I hadn't mentioned fentanyl, which obviously is to me, it's part of the undeclared war by China against the United States and using the Mexican cartels as money launderers and as the vehicles through which to deliver the fentanyl, this killer. But let me ask you, Doctor, about AI. And what's going on with Elon Musk and what he's doing with AI and how it interacts with the medical profession?
You know, Musk never misses. I mean, he's a sure hit each and every time. I mean, my 100-year-old father says they should have given the moon lander to Grumman because they did the last one 50 years ago. But I never count out Elon Musk. I mean, yep. every sector he gets into. So he's actually created something called Neuralink now. And Neuralink is literally an implant in the brain that uses electrodes to today somebody that he's studying. He got approval for the FDA to do this, literally moved a cursor with his brain thinking and played a game of chess. So this is the future. And get this. None of this is visible. It was installed by a robot in a 20-minute procedure.
Wait a minute. The robot installs the implant?
Right. And this is a paralyzed guy. He doesn't have quality of life. This guy's paralyzed from a diving accident. He's paralyzed from the shoulders down. His name is Nolan Arbaugh. And he's a very courageous individual.
And
he's 29
years
old.
This.
What's that?
He agreed to have this implant, this chip or whatever, implanted.
Because he's paralyzed from the shoulders down. So they're using but he's using it with a Bluetooth interface to actually control a computer. To control a cursor, to play chess.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the construction accident lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice. Prior results don't guarantee. Similar outcomes.
Can I tell you something, Doctor? A lot of people can't even imagine this, like visually. The implant goes in your head somewhere?
So what happens is the robot installs it into the brain, the surface of the brain. It's got over 1,000 electrodes, about 1,500. They're all related to thinking and movement. And everyone listening has to understand that we're talking about electromagnetic frequency waves that are similar to the brain's own pattern. So it connects up. Like, how could you think something and it could move a cursor? Well, because Neuralink is using the same kind of electrical force that your own brain is using. And so you have over 1,500 interfaces.
Anyway, Dr. Mark Siegel, I want to thank you for the variety of topics we've talked about today. And we appreciate your time, your expertise. And
one thing we've got to say in ending is please close the border. Yeah. I mean, we know which candidate's going to close the border and which isn't. And let's leave it at that.
Yeah, well, okay. Donald Trump's going to close it. The other guy doesn't know how. Have a great day, Dr. Siegel.
Have
Thanks
a great
for
day.
Joining
great.
Us.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.